Get an all-access experience with player interviews,
exclusive practice information,
and post-game analysts with the sauce you can't find anywhere else.
This is South Philly Sauce,
hosted by Flyers game day host Ashlyn Sullivan and Philly sports radio legend Al Morganti.
Welcome back to South Philly Sauce, an Odyssey original brought to you by 94WIP and Jack Daniels, Ashlyn Al, and we are sadly in full off-season mode. A couple days of it at least, hair in a bun, Philly's cap on. It is officially baseball season, at least for people that cover hockey. We will now greatly pay attention to that. It's a bummer. It's when you look at the grand scheme of things, it's not a bummer. What a fantastic year it was. It was so fun to cover, but I'm at least still a little bummed out with the way it ended.
Yeah, kind of a lot of bummed out because a lot of people, right to the last day, even if you think it's going to be a plus, a real plus to get to the playoffs, you still miss it. And it was a terrible feeling leaving. If you're a fan leaving that arena, thinking you had a chance to see a team at least knock out Washington, maybe have a chance to go on. And the way it ended was bonkers. Yeah. So it was and when you look back, it's not bad. It's actually very good. But for the moment, it still stings an awful lot. And I'm sure for the players, too, it's kind of like we were so close. You go back and you replay, you know, three games in your head and say, oh, my God, you win that thing. It's a game you can play forever. But yeah, it's a bad taste. But then you look back and say, well, it's pretty good for the entirety was pretty good.
It really was. And we heard from a lot of players in locker cleanout day. We're going to hear from John Tortorella and Danny Briere on Friday. We'll break that down for you early next week once we hear from them. But especially, I think the most telling was Scott Laughton post-game. And if you haven't watched, I encourage you to go watch because he wore his emotions on his sleeve. And I think of anyone, he wore it most that the Flyers didn't make the playoffs. I think he took a lot of responsibility for that. And the most emotional I've seen is Scott Laughton for sure.
Yeah, because when you're here a while, when you're in that group that's been here for the longest time and you don't get that playoff feeling, that's what really hurts. Like for kids, it's like, okay, we got a long way to go. But for the veterans, you just been here so long, and you know what it's like when they're in the playoffs. So you'd miss it triply, and you were so close, you just miss it that much. And I think for a guy like Laughton, when you're a team veteran, a team leader, you take more of that responsibility. What more could I have done to get us in? Maybe if I had that 2-week stretch where I didn't have that greatest stretch, maybe we're in. So I think fans like when the players take it that heavily, and it's not like, you know, oh well, if we're in, we're in, if we're out, we're out. I don't think fans like that attitude.
No, you saw it from Scott Laughton. You absolutely saw it from Travis Konecny. The past 3 weeks for him, he is absolutely, you could see how frustrated he has been with the way the Flyers played. And we go back to that Washington game and everything that was the Achilles heel of the Flyers all year bits him in that last game. Power play couldn't click, shocking, and they can't score when it matters most.
Yeah, of all the things, you know, when you look back, that's going to be the one that's the killer. Everybody's going to point to, what, 8-game winless streak, as they say in hockey, because you don't win the game, but you get a point sometimes. That hurt. But the power play to me was historically bad. I don't see how you come back with either the same coaching attempt at it or the same coaching style at it. Or even more so, maybe, you know, the coach didn't have much to work with. Something in personnel that changes something, because you can't. This isn't just 1 year. This is now it's a staple, and it's got to change.
It has been so bad for so long, and Al mentions historic. It actually is historic. Power play, in the inaugural season of 1967, the power play was at 12.3%. This past season, the power play was at 12.2%. So the worst in Flyers history, at least since they've been pulling analytics to track.
Yeah, that's a lot of homework there.
I didn't pull that stat.
1960, that's the first year the Flyers were in the league. That's a long time ago. That's a long time to set a record like that. Mm-hmm. And it's embarrassing for a coaching staff. It's embarrassing for some players who were supposed to be the guys that kind of bailed you out of that. It's just embarrassing for the franchise to have that as a it's Saturday Night Live stat, basically. I mean, if hockey was like football, there'd be Saturday Night Live, you know, a whole episode on the Flyers power play. That's how bad it's been.
It is. And we heard from Morgan Frost at Locker Cleanout Day, and he spoke a lot about it, about how he takes responsibility somewhat for it and hopes, you know, if they could have gotten clicking, what would happen. But Morgan Frost at one point was supposed to be the key to unlock it, and he can't put it all on him. And there were multiple players that we hoped would be able to spark something, and nothing was able to work.
Yeah, they don't have that skill player. And Frost, I mean, if I was him, I would be upset mostly for the team that I didn't get that power play. But to have that opportunity, to have the keys to the power play is where you get fat on stats. It's where you can become a player that you're counted upon. And frankly, you make a lot of money because you score goals, you get points, you get apples, you get everything on the power play. So in addition to directly costing the team because they thought maybe he was the guy. And, you know, there are others. Brink, they gave opportunities to. York, they gave opportunities to. But Frost is the one with the skill. And it's like, here it is. Here are the keys. Here's the Ferrari. You drive it. And he drove it in the river.
Literally, yeah. And multiple players. And I think that leads us to one big plus and one big minus for this season. And this is how you want to look at this season. Glass half full, glass half empty. What's your plus, Al?
My plus would be Cam York. I think they found a legitimate, no, I don't want to say number one, but a long time player in this league that plays really good defense with a really good upside offensively. And that's where I don't think you can discount that he'd become a premier defenseman, because that the offensive stuff will come along. He's got the skill set. But to learn defense that well, you know, we see Drysdale, a kid that they got, really struggle. And now, you know, he's going to have surgery in the offseason, I would assume. And that York can get things going like that. That shows you development. Drysdale, I think, was mishandled in his previous stop in Anaheim by bringing him along too quickly. And York was exactly the opposite. And you see the results of that. He really knows how to defend. So for me, he's the biggest plus that I have coming out of this season. I'm sure you're the same, right?
Yes, that is an excellent one. Cam York, he is one of the biggest pluses. And I go back to, we talked to him before the season started at Media Day, and his goal was for this year to prove that he can be a top defenseman in this league. And credit to him. He worked at it. He played through some really serious injuries that he highlighted in his media day or his locker cleanout day. For example, the outdoor game where he left the game the day before, played through some stuff. So credit to him. He has been a massive plus. And I think we all can agree a massive plus as well as the way Tim Harrison ended that season. Those final three games after a really bumpy road and the 8-game winless streak where you feared his confidence had plummeted and he didn't know if he was going to be able to pull himself out. They rode him for so many games, for so many minutes, they weren't supposed to have him be their goaltender. And I credit him for the way he handled himself. He has definitely proved he can be a pro in this league.
Yeah, and I think, the players appreciated it. Certainly the management and coaching staff appreciated it. And I think he's made himself a legit NHL starting goaltender for here, where, you know, who knows in the future what happens, you know, the way things change. But I think this year he was a guy nobody even really knew. I mean, he's just, okay, he's going to back up Carter Hart. Then that whole situation unfolded and there was an emergency situation. And to come in like that is, I mean, they couldn't have asked for anything more. Yeah, he slipped. There was some slippage in his game. But you look around the league, there was slippage in Sorokin, a really good goaltender. It happens with goaltenders. And to have to play that many games really was a great big demand on him. And then, I never bought that he was physically tired. Now he's talking about playing for Sweden in the World Championships. But that's how much of a plus he's become, how big a step he's taken. So for the Flyers, their organizational goaltender depth is pretty good now. There's no denying when you lost Carter Hart, you lost, I think, one of the best goaltenders in the league. The whole league lost them, basically. So to have to fill that void, this was a bad situation and make the best of it. Harrison certainly made the best of it, and so did the team.
He did, because everyone counted the Flyers out when that happened, thinking this is going to cost them their season, that they no longer have Carter Hart with this team. And granted, it was definitely a learning curve for Sam Harrison, but he kept them afloat. He kept them relevant in this season when it wasn't supposed to matter anymore. And now we were talking to Bush the final game of the season, about the status of the goaltenders going forward. And similar to what you have with Carter Hart and Erickson, that 1A, 1B, 2 punch, you have to find that again. Erickson most likely be in 1A, and we just don't know what Fedotov is yet, but maybe he can get up to that 1B status.
He may be 1A. I mean, that really was I mean, when you look at it, to literally, I don't know the details of getting or him leaving or getting him out of Russia, how it happened. And, you know, nobody's given specifics, but whatever it was like an overnight thing. Mm-hmm. And all of a sudden you hear, and it's no small matter, a new rink, but even bigger, as big as that, new equipment, which doesn't sound like much, but I watched him in the locker room. He wasn't comfortable in those skates. He had double laces. I mean, it was unbelievable. Yeah. Looking at that stuff, he's trying to like get used to it. And people say, oh, it's just equipment. No, it's a goaltender's equipment. It's like, I mean, it's like your favorite. I don't even know what it is.
Learning to drive a new car.
Yeah, really. It's like, so okay, awesome. There's no comfort level there. And you know that I don't even know what he is. I saw early a couple of big saves he made in that first appearance that he made when they called on him. But I think it's like having a whole new player when they come back next fall.
I agree. And now as for our minuses, I don't even think we can include power play because that's beyond a minus. And
go ahead. You can start with the minuses.
My minus to me is this whole year was about finding out what young players are, what this roster is going to look like. And I still feel like at the end of the season, you have a lot of questions still about what this team can look like. I give Jamie Drysdale, for example, who has admitted that he's going to have surgery and admitted that he didn't play healthy this entire year. So we don't really know what Jamie Drysdale is. Rasmus Ristolainen, they announced that he had surgery on his tendon in Texas last week. So a big question mark there. Is he going to be back? Cam Atkinson admitting he has a lot of gaps left in the tank, but I think both of us agree he most likely isn't going to be here next year. So for as much as Torts emphasizes wanting this team to be solid and subtractions and additions, I still am left with a couple of questions about the roster.
Yeah, my minus was Atkinson. I really think, I mean, you had a veteran player and they gave him opportunities and then, you know, got benched for a while, didn't even play in some big games in the third period. And they really could have used that energy and those hands. I mean, it's not no lack of effort, no lack of want or try. It just looks like he overnight, his hands weren't the same as they've been in the past. And he was counted upon for that energy to get things going. We saw big breakaway opportunities, which he never missed before. I mean, very rarely. I mean, it was like, here you go. Get out of your seat. It's going to be a great shot. And sometimes the shot didn't even get there. Some bad breaks along the way, but what a difference that would have made. And I'm hoping it's a late career blip and kind of a resurgence he can have wherever. I don't think it will be in Philadelphia. Mm-hmm. But they really missed that when you look at it. I mean, this is a team that the skill level they really want in certain areas, and he could have given them that want. And he eventually turned into another guy that couldn't finish.
Right. And I know Cam Atkinson wears that on his sleeve because when you look at the whole grand scheme of things, he got so many opportunities to turn it around. For everyone that wants to say, like, Torts didn't give him enough minutes or shouldn't have benched him, at some point, you have to do what you have to do. And he got the opportunities.
Yeah. So, I mean, Tortorella had a interesting season with things that went on. The benching of the captain, Couturier, who came back. And then when he called the team soft, I actually think, I was trying to make sense of it. Like, why would you do that? And I think John Tortorella got a little bit over his tips of his skis in terms of what this team was capable of. Mm-hmm. Because, you know, he made a big deal of they got, you know, guts throughout. It was a big story throughout the league. The Flyers play hard, try hard. But I think he got a little bit carried away on how much they could achieve. Yeah. And I think he demanded, I think, more than they could deliver. Mm-hmm. They did make mistakes, but I can see it's like, here we are, we're here now. And I think he just got so – he wanted to push them so much that I think he reacted like, why, you know, I got to get that last bit of toothpaste out of the tube. And right. there was nothing there. That's why I think he did that, to try to get that last ounce of energy or whatever. And I sometimes just – it's not there. And I think that's what happened with that. But I, of all the things that he did this year, that's the thing that I just questioned. I'm like, why, you know, after all these good things that have happened, but I look back at it and think, well, he's just trying to get the last ounce of energy out of him.
Right. And you can't blame him for that. I mean, he's known for pushing players and the final fan of the Flyers. I appreciate that. You want a coach that pushes the players to the best that they can be. Granted, they didn't respond, but it was an eventful year for John Tortorella and everyone, to say the least. It was entertaining as we now get ready to watch the NHL playoffs without the Flyers in it, but it's still going to be awesome to watch. And now we think of cup contenders and how this is all going to shape out. I'm really excited for that Lightning Panther series, being from Florida. That's going to be cool. But Al, who's your cup winner?
This might be the toughest one yet in the NHL, where everybody legitimately, they go in and think they have a chance. But this year, if you look at the first round play, except for maybe the Rangers series, and that's not even for sure because the way things happen, I don't even know you can pick a favorite in the darn first round in a lot of places on what's gone on. But I'm going to go with balance. I'm going to go with a team that's had a great year, kind of under the radar in terms of, you know, the years that McDavid had and MacKinnon had and Kucherov. I'm going with the Dallas Stars. Yeah. But if I were a gambler, I don't know that I'd put much money on anybody in this thing. It's just so wide open. But if I, you know, had to take my $10, whatever I have, I would go with the Dallas Stars.
They have been so consistent all year. Maybe that's why they've kind of flown under the radar, is they just have kept winning and they keep getting points. And it hasn't been flashy. It's been grinded out games, but they've been really impressive. And I think it's because we talked about the first series. I don't think the Capitals stand a chance against the Rangers. So I'm going Rangers, but I know it doesn't make me popular, but just Rangers in playoffs is a different story. They have so much firepower. They take it to another level. So I think it's the Rangers, but it is really hard to predict. Like, I look at, for example, the Avalanche in that first series, and how are you going to predict that against Winnipeg, who's been so consistent? Nashville, Vancouver, that's going to be excellent. It's good stuff.
There's nobody. There's really no favorite. But the Rangers, I like the Rangers to stay in because I like having somebody to root against. Mm-hmm. If the Penguins aren't going to be there, and you know the Flyers have. This also sets up great for next year because everybody's mad at the Flyers for what they did pulling the goalie. So you know, this sets it up for next year. But I do like when the Rangers are in because it's, if you're a Penguin hater or a Ranger hater, it gives you somebody to root against in the playoffs.
So true, but it's going to be must-see TV. And now we will transition to the offseason and break down all things Flyers. A lot to break down with this team as we get ready for the offseason. So thank you all season long to listening to South Philly Sauce, and Odyssey Original, brought to you by 94WIP and Jack Daniels. We'll have one episode a week going forward, so we'll still talk lots of hockey out.
Oh yeah, indeed. We'll talk lots of hockey and get ready for the next year, which will be here before you know it.
It will. We'll see you next week.